legislation that came down, like Adam mentioned, removed the salary allocation model. So our contract was pointing to an entity that no longer had any value in the law.
Mm-hmm. When you mentioned educating members, how did you go about educating them? You didn't, right? You're not teaching classes to your members. So how do you get them educated?
Yeah, well, at the building level, a lot of times we do that through 10-minute building meetings, invite all members of the building to come up, and we work to put the information that was coming out of out of Olympia and kind of with the support in interpreting that we have from the WEA at the state level, to put that into chunks of information that people could understand where they could go to get more information. Most of that education at the building level happens in those just little union meetings that you have with your union brothers and sisters in the building where you work.
Great. You mentioned earlier that Washington, you said that the people are pro-education in Washington. Tell us about some of the support that you got from parents and even maybe from students during this strike.
Yeah, I think you can go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, we had parents and students actually joining us on the picket line, whole families. And as I mentioned previously, you know, getting out of their cars to provide food, supplies, water, treats, anything that they could possibly do and give, they did it. We had members who would come to their picket lines every morning, and there would be colored chalk messages of love and support that families had written either that night or early in the morning before our members got there to the picket lines. And they were just moved all the time by the outpouring of community support that what was there. And I also think of the labor community that came out in support of us, like, you know, SEIU Local 49, that were going without pay. They could choose to cross the picket line, and they could get paid to work in the buildings that day, but they spent every day on the picket line with our members until they saw through this strike. And we had, you know, just like the Vancouver firefighters who were there with us since the beginning as well, and all of the labor community from the Southwest Central Washington Labor Council that just supported us on the onset and were continually putting pressure on the school board and superintendent to settle.
And maybe I missed this, but what about your classified employees, your secretaries, your bus drivers, your custodians, your assistants?
Yeah, our local is certificated. Classified is in a separate. So unlike you've probably heard about locals like Seattle, I forget how it works at PAT, but we are just certificated. So just teachers, educators, counselors are included in that, social workers. We have a relationship with the public service employees. It is important to notice that we are we're working to try to support them because they have missed a couple of weeks of work. So we've been in contact with their organizers to figure out what can we do to support those families from PSE that are going to get their paycheck late. Essentially, we're still working 180-day school year, but we want to make sure to reach out to them and support those members who are going to have trouble making it through the month for this month. We also, like as Adam mentioned, the SEIU folks who work in our building and custodial, some of them went without pay, so the same goes. We're looking at ways to reach out and support them in the next few weeks. We also we have a relationship with, when we're talking about the Southwest Washington Central Labor Council, we have been working with them. We send delegates there every month for the past several years, and our UNISERV Council also sends delegates, so we have a relationship at the level of our UNISERV and as well as at our local. They've been incredibly supportive, both in kind of building power towards local races that benefit all of the labor community, and also in reaching out to support teachers in this recent, you know, in the strike.
Okay. So it sounds like most, were most districts in Washington kind of in the same situation where they were just opening up bargaining around this new creating a new salary schedule specific to their district, or were there other districts that were in their full contract negotiation? Do you know around the state? Yeah.
It was definitely a mix, because at any given year, a local association is bargaining with their school district, and that also kind of made some of the superintendent's argument suspect when, for the ones who had an additional year left, like ours, to negotiate this salary model, they were saying, oh well, no, you don't have an open contract this year. We're refusing to want to negotiate salary at this time. The contract's in good standing, even though the salary model was no longer legal in Washington State because the salary model no longer existed as policy. And so every local school district in Washington State had to go to the table, whether they had an open bargain or a continuing contract, to negotiate a new salary model.
And so, I mean, I guess some, it seemed like some districts had a fairly short or a shorter strike than Evergreen did, and some, I believe, just had a vote and then were able to negotiate before it came to a strike. So do you know kind of what was particular to Evergreen that made it last so long and, take the course it did, I guess?
Yeah, I would say that, it's important to understand that different districts receive different amounts of money. So that's because different districts might not have had such a strong contract and might have had a further way to catch up. So when you're looking, some people have looked at the percentages achieved in other districts and said, wow, they got, 22% more, or they got 15% more. While those percentages are in themselves misleading because they don't describe an entire salary schedule, it's also important to remember that some districts might have been even further behind Evergreen in terms of the strength of their contract prior to that. I will say that our superintendent and our school board seem to be, particularly not interested in dialoguing with teachers, and it was very frustrating that while people did receive kind of canned communication in response to their letters, there wasn't a whole lot of opportunity for either teachers or the public to have their voices heard. By our current superintendent, John Steach, or by the school board members themselves.
Is there any talk about running some folks against some of the school board members when their terms come up?
Absolutely. We've got three seats open. Oh, go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, as Marge was mentioning, we have three seats open in 2019. We already have a educator from the Vancouver Education Association, Bethany Rivard, who is choosing to run for one of those seats. We have other people in the community who have contacted us, letting us know that they are interested in running for the school board as well. What really became clear to the community is that new leadership is needed. And we need to have a school board that is able to not be fearful of addressing the public when it comes to issues of public education, to engage in tactics where you have a packed boardroom and then choosing to run a whole agenda and do a long budget presentation to confuse people before even allowing public comment, when you had the Camas School Board who was more respectful by putting public comment first so that the community could address those concerns. And then at a subsequent, Evergreen School Board meeting, not even allowing any kind of public comment or acknowledgement of another packed room of people, and then choosing to go into a closed session and ignoring the public, while then also making announcement that until there is a settlement, they would be suspending future school board meetings. And so it hit a tipping point for the community, and that's why we have many people who are wanting to get involved and run for the Evergreen School Board.
I just want to ask. I mean, I can imagine as educators that was extremely frustrating. But what is your sense with parents and the larger community with the behavior that they saw from the school board? Do you feel like there's energy around change there that goes beyond educator circles?
It does seem like it, and I think a lot of people, you know, the reactions range from kind of just dumbfounded, why is this, why are they not listening, why are they not opening the meeting, to just plain angry. So I think that when it comes to running pro-education candidates for the school board or folks who have more, you know, folks who have ties to the community and can help to create policies that will genuinely support educators, I think people are very ready to vote for that kind of candidate.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And just one last detail about that too, with the public. You know, we knew the money was there from the beginning, and for most of the summer, the district said that they would only offer 1.9% to our members, and we were so thankful to have the community's trust when we told them that no, the money's there. We know it's come down from the state, and it belongs to teacher salary. And we ultimately settled for that McCleary money. And now the community, and as they're, you know, starting their first days of school, are beginning to reflect and think about the school board and the superintendent, and are wondering, why did we go through 8 days of a strike when they knew that money was always there, but they were telling the public that it wasn't.
Right.
Great. Well, we're going to listen to Ken again talk about membership drive here at KBOO Portland.
Oh, thanks, Stephen. And thanks, Rachel. You're listening, of course, to Labor Radio on KBOO Portland, your community radio station. And it truly is your community radio station. It's our fall membership drive, and we depend on you, our listeners, for our survival. And we've been depending on you since 1968 for 50 years, and you've come through for us. If you're not currently a member, it's a perfect time to become one at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. And my partner Mike is here with me. And Mike, you suggested, since it's Labor Radio, why not give what you make in an hour per month to KBOO?
Yeah, then everyone is paying what they can to support this community effort, this great community resource of KBOO. Dial 877-500-5266 right now, or go to kboo.fm and commit to giving 1 hour's wages to KBOO per month. Whatever you make, that's what it takes. It takes everyone doing what we can, and together we can amplify our voices. You know, it's very easy right now to feel like we don't have a voice, to feel like whatever it is that we try to say just doesn't matter. But we do have a voice, and when we put our voices together and amplify them through KBOO, through community resources, by dialing 877-500-5266, we do have the power. Here on Labor Radio, we're listening to working people telling their own story. We're hearing labor actually describing labor issues. We're hearing teachers explain the concerns of teachers. It's very easy to hear what people who are against working people think, because they have lots of outlets. But at KBOO, we bring you what working people actually think. Call now to show your support, 877-500-5266.
Yeah, Mike, I've been listening to Marge and Adam talk about it, and something that hasn't come through on these Washington State teacher strikes, the coverage of it, has been what they just mentioned, where the school board, the superintendents, knew that they had the money mm-hmm. to pay the teachers, and yet they went through these 8 days of strikes, and we don't have the money, we can't pay you, you know, the kids are not going to school, and they're trying to make the teachers the bad guys, but they're the good guys, and the good guys are on KBOO right now. Thanks to people like you, we have shows like Labor Radio. So give us a call at 877-500-5266. We've been around since 1968, as Mike said. If you're starting to feel powerless, if you feel that your voice is not being heard, KBOO can help that. We amplify that voice. Plus, we have persistence. We've been around since 1968, way before Mr. Trump in the White House, and we'll be around long after he's gone. So give us a call at 877-500-5266, or go online to become a member at kboo.fm.
So you guys won pretty big. Talk about what it is that you won. I think what I heard was, starting out, the offer was a 1.9% raise or something like that. And what did you end up winning after this strike?
You want to go ahead and take that one, Marsh?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay, I'll take it, yeah.
Sorry.
So it was a significant settlement. If you look at just the average overall percentage, it's 11.5% with a two-year deal. However, for many of our members, based on where they are in the salary schedule, they are seeing an increase even beyond that, because the way the old salary model works, the state, it was very unfair to kind of throttle educator earnings for half their teaching career. And what our settlement allows is a smoothing over of the index between the different steps. And so it's a significant increase, especially for those educators in those middle steps that for so long have been going year after year with tiny step increases and maybe a cost of living adjustment. And now they are being paid fair wages that bring the education profession closer to a true professional wage for what we do.
So now teachers are going to be living high on the hog up there in Washington, right? Buying luxury cars and...
That's hardly the case. I think Adam is right when he says that it brings us closer to a professional wage. Just remember that, you know, compared to other professions that require similar training, teachers continue to lag behind, even with this current legislation. As an example, what Adam's talking about is that kind of middle steps of our salary schedule. In order to move up in steps on the kind of table that describes your salary, getting a master's degree is something that moves you ahead or that can move you up in wages. In our former salary allocation model, it was true that many people who invested in a master's degree, even with the amount that they could make subsequently, were not able to recover from the kind of loan debt that they had. So compared to other professions that require a similar amount of, like, let's say, degrees, we find that a lot of times teachers are paid far less. And it's one reason that we see teachers leaving the profession, and we see that enrollment in teacher training programs is down. For many educators in our district, they're working hard, but they are not in it for the money. They recognize that this strike was very important to them in order to retain quality educators in the profession and in order to invite their own students who are thinking right now about their career choices into a profession where they could earn a living wage.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I'm wondering, from what you've gathered, and this is all fresh and new, right? This was just voted on.
Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon, yesterday. We weren't sure when we invited you in if the strike was still going to be in effect or where you're going to be in that process.
We certainly weren't sure either.
Yeah. So from what you have gathered since that vote, what's the mood like? What are your union sisters and brothers talking about doing next? What's going on now?
Yeah, in general, people are very excited to be back to school. Everything all day, glad to be back. I will say that there is an incredible amount of solidarity in the buildings. What I'm hearing, you know, secondhand, and then just being in my building today, we have a staff of over 100 people that are in 100 members that are in the Evergreen Education Association. And those are people that spent the last 2 weeks sweating together, walking together, doing dance-offs as a break in order to, you know, be able to entertain themselves. There are people that know each other far better than they did last year, and it makes for a very different organizing environment.
Mm-hmm.
I think people understand better what their union is and what it does, and because of the process of having witnessed what the McCleary decision was, the legislation that came out of it, our steps in moving towards bargaining over the summer, and then since the strike, just kind of the role of the school board, what those candidates do, people have a far better picture, I think, in general, of how education funding works and how education policy works. They didn't come into it trying to get educated. We were, you know, I think we learned those things together because of the context, but it means that we're moving into an organizing year in which people know each other very well and are much better equipped to think critically about how we fund education and how we make decisions at the local and the state level.
So I know that you mentioned some people were considering running for a school board. Do you know of people who are also considering running for state office?
Actually, we already have one of our members, the Evergreen Education Association member Monica Stonier, is already a representative in Olympia. So we would love to have other people follow in her footsteps or run their own races. It's always something that we're looking to other educators to see who are the leaders among us who we can support in doing that.
Well, that's exciting to think about. Yeah.
It was interesting also to just to hear you talking about the impact that the strike has gone on. You mentioned that members were closer now. They knew each other more because obviously they had time to talk when they were on the picket lines, which is something that usually when you're teaching, right, you're in your classroom,
sure,
you don't have so much time to do that. Also that they're just better educated on a lot of the issues and sounds like more engaged just in all things, right? And more engaged politically.
Yeah, the joke has been that we had a 2-week icebreaker basically at each building to get
yes.
to know one another.
And that's just really
our members said it's the best professional development they ever had.
Yeah.
I just think that for our listeners, especially those of you that are educators out there in Oregon, take note of that because I often hear, oh, strikes are such a negative experience. We want to avoid that if we can. And it's sort of a fear-based sort of way of thinking about negotiating, right? We really want to avoid the strike because, you know, the community will be upset with us and it'll just be a really, you know, miserable experience. And it doesn't sound like it was that at all.
Yeah, I mean, you would want to, a strike comes about because a Democratic body chose to take that path. We voted in our strike at 96%, so membership was overwhelmingly in favor. And our attendance on the lines was great. And so I think it is important to know that if membership hadn't been behind the strike, we would not have had the kind of success mm-hmm. that we had. It was clearly something that was by and for membership. It came out of that body where 1,860 some educators who decided this is what we want to do and what we plan to do. Of course, people get exhausted, you know, and grumpy, but overwhelmingly the mood coming into today was very positive, that we felt like we did something that was worth it, not just for our own contract, but looking forward for the future of, you know, strong and sustainable public schools.
Adam, I heard you say a couple of times that the money was there. Superintendents didn't want to let on about that or were trying to keep that in the dark, keep people in the dark on that. And it just made me think that the money is there. I mean, there's no shortage of money out there, right? Whether it's in the hands of the superintendents or the corporations or whoever it is that's holding on to the money. The problem is never that there's a shortage of money. And that's the story that sometimes that people out there try to play, right? Well, there's just not enough money for you to, you know, pay teachers or hire more counselors or fix your school. There's just not enough money.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. The problem is twofold. One, that in Washington State, there is over $30 billion in tax gifts, corporate welfare, to the biggest special interests in Washington State. And if you just took a fragment of that money and put it in public education, you would have a fully funded public education system with a surplus. And then the second problem is that you have, and a lot of people don't know this, but in school districts all across Washington State, school boards and superintendents are hoarding millions of dollars in just bank accounts for the school district. Evergreen School District has 8% reserves of $28 million. The Washougal School District, my understanding, is about 16% reserves. And it's a problem all across Washington State where you have school boards and superintendents that are treating a nonprofit organization that serves the public and treating public education like a business and a private bank account, and they're not investing those public tax dollars into the classroom for our students or our educators.
Well, we really appreciate having you on. Any last thoughts that you want to share about what's next or about what the experience was like for you?
Yeah, I think if people can take something away from this, it might be not just obviously that we can often show more strength and solidarity than we think that we're capable of, but also just really how crucial those state and local races are. When we think about what can we do as educators, what can leaders do, often those races, you will get a lot of support from educators, from locals, from parents and community. It's super important to support those educator voices when they do step into those roles, like Bethany Rivard has in Evergreen, like Monica Stonier has, our member who's a representative. Can't say enough how much those decision-making voices can bring home change at the local level.
And if I could synthesize that point with one key story, you know, one of our other members, Wendy Smith, is also on the Vancouver School Board. And you can go and find the video on social media and Facebook where at that Vancouver School Board meeting, when multiple resolutions to threaten and intimidate our Vancouver educators were being passed, Wendy's voice was the lone no vote on each of those resolutions. And by the time they got to the final resolutions, the audience was just in the room was going crazy for Wendy, to the point where the school board decided to close the session and finish their meeting in another room. And as they were exiting, the crowd and the community was chanting Wendy, Wendy, in the room. And it just goes to show the power of educators running for school board, labor unions running for school board races, state house races. The way to win these races is on the ground, knocking on doors. And we have the people, we have the volunteers who can win all of these races. And all we have to do is just decide that we're going to do it.
Well, Adam and Marge, thank you so much for coming and sharing your experience. And thank you, everyone, for joining us on KBOO. Thanks to our engineer. Thank you, audience, for tuning in. Thank you, Stephen. This is Rachel Haynes, and you've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 o'clock to catch another Labor Radio show.
Oh, thanks, Stephen and Rachel. Of course, you've just been listening to Labor Radio, which is on every Monday night here. We had a special fall membership drive version tonight, a one-hour show with two teachers from the Washington State School District, Adam Aguilera and Marge Hogan. They gave us kind of the inside information on the recent teacher strikes there in several of the school districts. It's a perfect time to become a member to support programming like this. If you're not currently a member, 877-500-5266 is the number. You can go online at kboo.fm. I know, Mike, I was listening to KBOO for several years before I became a member, and I feel a whole lot better now.
Right, yeah.
I became a member at least 7-8 years ago, and I give every year. It's important to me. I think it's important to the community to have a voice like this. Adam said something, Mike, that really struck me. He said, we can win. All we have to do is decide we're going to do it. And I think you decide where you want to put your money. A lot of us spend money every month on Netflix, Amazon Prime, all these subscription services, HBO, Showtime. That's usually $10 a month, so that's $120 a year. What if you put that $10 a month or an extra $10 a month into KBOO? $120 a year, we can get you a thank you gift, a KBOO t-shirt. You'll also be entered into a drawing. I'll mention that now. If you become a member tonight, you could be entered to win a prize. Again, that number, 877-500-5266. The prize tonight is a chance to win a $200 gift certificate to one of our KBOO neighbors, Next Adventure, and their outdoor equipment. Or you can go to kboo.fm for all the rules and details. But the important thing is you're supporting community radio. You're amplifying the voices of these teachers like in Washington State, like Adam and Marge, and all across the community. 877-500-5266 is the number.
Yeah, that's right, Ken. And it's time to pay your radio dues. You know, I also was listening to KBOO for a while before I picked up the phone and dialed 877-500-5266. I'll confess, I went to kboo.fm and I contributed online, but you can dial 877-500-5266. I was a freeloader. You know, I listened just like in a union. If you are benefiting from that union and you're not paying your dues, you are a freeloader. We know we are all benefiting from KBOO being here. And it's time for all of us to do our part to make sure that KBOO is still here for everyone else. 877-500-5266. You know, the key to everything is solidarity. If I give my $10 a month, Ken, I don't get a radio station out of it. If you give your $10 a month, you don't get a radio station out of it. But if we all get together and dial 877-500-5266, we all get a radio station. We all get a resource like KBOO. That is solidarity, if ever I heard of it.
And thousands of your neighbors, of people that you live with, that you see every day, have been doing exactly that for the past 50 years. That's the only way KBOO has survived. It just amazes me. We started back in 1968. We're in our 50th year, and I think we'll be around another 50, thanks to people like you. If you're not one of those members, it's not too late. It's the perfect time to call 877-500-5266. We're suggesting a contribution of $10 a month. That's $120 a year. You can do that electronic fund transfer, credit card, debit card. Again, the number 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast provided by Cameo Cafe, located at 8111 Northeast Sandy Boulevard, serving burgers, breakfast, and brunch from 6:30 to 3 every day. Lunch provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Bridges Cafe and Catering is a restaurant and catering company located in Northeast Portland on the corner of MLK Jr. and Northeast Knott Street. Their kitchen is about 75% organic, open daily. Dinner provided by Dove VV, located at 2727 Northeast Gleason Street in Portland. Open 4 to 10 p.m. daily and serving cornmeal crust pizza.